afternoon, St. Louis, DG, Ask 104.1 FM, KMOX. Happy Thursday. It feels like a Friday. Feels like a Saturday here. I mean, there's nobody.
No. A lot of extended vacation days being used, right?
Yeah. Totally cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Totally fine.
Not just taking the day.
I'm going to start auditing these vacation days.
Walk around making a little map of who's here
yes.
and who's not.
Yeah, let's see.
Turn
here.
It into Becky.
I see Johnny and Tommy. Just turn it into romper room.
I hear and see myself too much.
What?
I'm sick of me. I hear my voice a lot.
Yeah.
Just driving around.
Sure.
And then now that we have the stream, I'm staring right at me.
Yeah.
And it's just weird.
Oh.
Yeah, the stream is sometimes difficult to wrap your mind around
mm-hmm.
because when you think about the fact that, okay, not only am I doing 4 hours of radio, which is exposing yourself a lot, now there's a camera the whole time.
Right in your face.
Right in your face.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, I hope I didn't like itch my nose in a weird way.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Something. Or
no.
I'm
yeah.
always yawning. I know that looks bad.
I know I've yawned a ton. I know I picked my nose a couple of times.
Yep.
And it's not to be funny. Like, I'm straight up picking my nose and I'm like, oh, you're on camera. And then, so sometimes on the breaks, I'll just sit down because I stand for the whole time, hero. And the other day, someone on the stream goes, Dave's just sitting there and Kevin looks like he's asleep.
I know, I do.
And Rachel this, and I'm like, geez.
If you guys are watching on the stream now, like, if I look at my computer screen that's below because I have a laptop there, it definitely looks like I'm sleeping because I have the tiniest eyes ever.
I'm glad you finally said it.
Well, it's what? Like, all right, let's,
I know I do.
Let's yeah. film you while you're watching CSI and it goes to commercial break. And let's see what you're doing while the commercials are running.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, man, that's it.
You know what I mean? That comment
Andrew
was like,
up a notch.
Well, that comment was like, what do you want us to do?
Well, I mean, we could make like faces
Kevin's
and
just,
perform. We
Kevin's
could be
just
like,
sitting there during the commercial break.
Well, no, he
what
said I
looked
like I was
do?
Sleeping, which it does. If you catch me on the wrong angle, if I'm looking down, I look like I'm asleep. I have tiny eyes.
I remember the first time I saw the show Candid Camera mm-hmm. as a child. That blew my mind.
How so?
It was like, I can't believe they're allowed to do this. This is
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, they're spying on
right.
you.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know
I
this was a possibility
show.
In
Smile.
Life.
Smile.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking, I hope this never happens to me. I'm like five.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I'm sure it would have been fun. Like, when I was a kid, I'd have been hot-dogging it. Like, your smile, you're on camera, I'd be like, ugh.
Oh, okay, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Wasn't 100% sure.
Those wee, beady Irish eyes of Kevin.
I mean, Jake's not wrong, man. They're little. Tiny eyes and a giant forehead. It's a great combo.
Look like someone stamped a face on a basketball.
Yes. And we're like, oh, forgot to draw the eyes. Like, hey, he's awake. You got to open them up.
You got a Sharpie?
I really need like tape and I can just keep them open yeah, so they look open.
I never clocked that you have small
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, they're just tiny little things.
Yeah. I don't think I have big eyes for sure.
Yours are normal. What do I yeah. do? You don't have,
I have
the
kind of hooded eyes too.
Okay. You don't have the googly eyes. You don't have like big googly eyes. But you don't have little tiny ones either.
Oh, that's funny. I realized today I'm trying to be healthier and I'm doing all this stuff and I'm eating much better in the last week or so. And I realized that I literally have 100% more Red Bull than I do water.
Oh.
I never drink a glass of water. Oh. I just don't. And I have a Red Bull every day.
Yeah.
So
you should just like shotgun the water, like just take it
right, just right, just not even to be enjoyed.
No, I. That's how I drink water. I just
take it down,
chug it.
Red Bull is better for you.
Yeah,
makes you feel better.
It doesn't dehydrate you in the summer at all.
Makes
Gives
you feel
you
better.
Wings.
That's not why you're flying around, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you have to sit or stand? I mean, because the wings don't fit in the chair.
That's right.
Yeah,
I have so much energy. I just have to stand.
Yeah.
I had a weird thing happen today. Apropos of absolutely nothing, but I've been watching this guy's content. He's a baseball player and some sort of a former pro, and he plays with not pros. And it's sort of like, I enjoy it because it's baseball, but he's kind of a D.
Oh.
And he's always throwing 95 at some guy who can't hit 60. And then I finally figured out who it is. Trevor Bauer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, he is a giant.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Is this his living now?
I think so.
He's definitely moving into the influencer sphere type
yeah.
thing. because nobody in Major League Baseball is ever going to sign him. And also, he's getting trucked.
In Japan.
He's not doing well. That's probably... I mean, he hasn't... He's not... He's past his time anyway. He'd already be on the aging curve downward, but he was also...
I thought he looks good, but I didn't think he looked like a pro.
Well, it's a different... Still, like, this is the point that is just amazing that people just... You know, we bring this up once in a while. Like, you just don't know. You put him up against an average Joe, and he'll look like he's a miracle. He's like, oh, my God, this guy's Paul Skeens. Because 90s gas, if you've never seen it.
Yeah.
Or if you haven't seen it in 30 years because you saw it maybe when you're in college and now you're 50 or something.
Yeah.
What he does will make an average person look like an idiot. It's just that it's, you know, people that do it every day aren't fooled by it anymore. But yeah, that totally feels like what a Trevor Bauer thing to do would be, to go out there and kind of become an influencer by playing old man baseball and blowing people away, and then doing his, you know, like pew pew and I get you and you know, trash talking, all like, all right, buddy.
Just thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Also had a weird thought today, not to crap on the Science Center, but I saw an ad for Pompeii. Mm-hmm. Am I the only one who my entire life has found it ghoulish that we display the bodies of the people who died in Pompeii? And the whole thing is they're like, and this guy, I'm holding my cell phone, and I'm eating a lobster. And though they died instantly and they froze in this exact position and here they are, I find it incredibly ghoulish.
Well, it's partly a myth, right? Like, I think a lot of the people aren't a lot of the people who are like, you know, like you said, like standing up in the middle of eating lobster with a fork or whatever. Isn't that like not necessarily, weren't they kind of posed?
I don't think so, because they are covered in pumice and then hardened. So unless they just made fake people, I don't know that you could actually move someone once you found them all mummified.
I mean, I had thought that like a fair amount of them are like fake people.
Oh,
like
I don't
some
know.
Of the ones that are just like laying in bed or whatever, those are
don't know
authentic. But I had thought
I thought the I same thing that. Though when I went to the Science Center probably 15 years ago with Nick when they had the dead bodies display, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, what are we doing? And I'm not like I'm Amish or something and, you know, it's going to steal my soul, but it just, I don't know. Just displaying dead bodies really bothers me. There's a take.
What about the mummies? Do the mummies bother you too?
That's an interesting question. No, not as much.
Because they're in their
I guess,
tomb.
Yeah, I don't have a good reason for it because they're all dead.
Maybe you're just more used to it?
Maybe. Yeah.
At the art museum, the mummies... They have that mummy display. I'm assuming there's not actual mummies inside those containers.
I don't know. I would think so.
Okay.
I mean, I've definitely seen real mummies.
Yeah.
Like, there it is.
Yeah.
Tell you what bothered me was that cat's testicles, the one at the Science Center, the actual body where they take, you donate your body and then they like plasticize you.
Okay.
And you're naked, of course.
Uh-huh.
And just like,
of course.
I knew what testicles were, but I didn't know what they looked like that. And I'm just like, holy crap. That's what I took away from it. That's what I took away from the Science Center.
Mm-hmm.
Jake says that he watched the Pompeii show and lots of those people didn't die instantly. They had pretty terrible deaths, which is one more reason not to display them. This guy suffered for an hour.
Yeah.
Here he is. Go
get
a snow cone.
Here he is suffering. Look at how scared his face looks.
It is. But I think the ones we do, other than the real sciencey ones, right, where they do the dissections or whatever they call that. Is it vivisection when they slice you up?
Yes.
Like vertically?
Yes.
Those are like clearly scientific purpose, understanding of things and all that.
I got no problem with that.
But these are also the ones we look at are also the ones that are most fascinating to us because they defy the norms of death, right? I mean, the reason we're fascinated by mummification is it really slows the process.
Mm-hmm.
Where that, oh my God, that's actually a body thousands of years later. How did they do that? And why did they do that? And like, I think there's a fascination with that. And the same thing with Pompeii. It's just such a unique, like, well, that's weird and never happened because a volcano covered all these people.
Of all the weird things, and I have documented my TikTok for you page pretty well, from child boxing to horse hospice. But this, I have a recent one that I not only say not interested, I have reported. Now I'm a narc. I'm a TikTok narc. But it's exhuming bodies. Like, and it's real. It's like, oh, yeah, this body's been in the ground for 30 years. They show them pulling it out, and they show it. There it goes. I've never watched to see if they open it, because I get rid of it as fast as I can. But what the hell? What are we doing? How are we entertaining ourselves these days?
Is that a thing?
Exhuming bodies?
Like, I mean, I'm assuming it's for a purpose. It's not just to do it.
Yeah, sometimes it's for a criminal investigation. Okay. Sometimes it's to move a grave.
Okay.
But yeah.
Probably shouldn't be posting that on TikTok.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. I saw a story. I had this on the Google Doc for a couple of days. I don't think we ever got to it, but a man who agreed to donate his mother's body to science.
Oh, and it went bad?
Yeah. They ended up like just blowing the body up with in like a military experiment
right.
or something.
I remember that.
And he was like, I thought they were going to do tests and like solve cancer or something. And instead they're just running these military tests and blowing up my mother's corpse. I mean, it's like a horror story. And this has happened to lots of people. Yeah. Whenever they donate their body to science.
Yeah. Yeah, there used to be a stand-up joke that we should take people who pass away and donate their bodies and use them as test crash dummies. And now it's like kind of happening. Mm. Kind of doing it. How much does it eeb you out if you donated your body to science and med students were carving you up? Not at all?
Couldn't care less. I mean, if you want to blow me up for testing bombs, that's fine too.
You saying if I want to?
Well, I mean, if I'm dead already, don't make me dead.
You know, I'm kind of with Eels on this. I would be upset if I were donating. I would be way more upset about it happening to a family member than it. Like, when I'm dead, I'm dead. I actually don't care. But I know other people do care. You know, they have very specific ideas of what should happen whenever they're deceased. And I think those types of things should be respected.
Yeah, like, I am horrified by the thought of being buried. For obvious reasons. One, I have claustrophobia. Two, that's just creepy. But if you're gone, you're gone. Being burned up isn't great, you know, if you're worried about the effect on your body when you die. But that's probably what I'll have done. Although I'm kind of into the mushroom suit.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Mm. Don't have any preferences.
Just lay those tiny eyes down.
Just whatever. Yeah, I mean, but just be sure I'm dead. Just be sure that I'm not looking at my computer screen.
I'm just checking.
There you go. Just have you posed like that. I just wrote this down. And since you've been gone, because I want to play him in the band.
Nice.
Just had a meeting with Dave and Greg for my band yesterday. And we're definitely getting back together and... super excited.
That is so cool. I'm excited.
It is really cool.
It's been like 5 years. 6 years, maybe.
It's been since COVID.
Can I be cowbell guy?
Of course you can.
All right.
We need one.
I can do cowbells, I think.
Wait, do you have really tiny eyes?
I have tiny eyes.
Nice, you're in.
And a big forehead.
You're
boom,
in the
let's
band.
Go.
Yeah. We'll change the name of the band to Tiny Eyes.
I'll just do the wear the shirt like Will Ferrell did in the sketch.
There you go. Yeah, I'm super excited. Band's coming back. I'm playing baseball again.
Look
there you
out.
Go.
What could go wrong?
I mean, do you really want to know?
No. Forget I said that.
Ask Matt Pauly what can go wrong.
Forget I said that. Oh, man. He freaked me out.
It feels so bad for him, man. That
Matt's
sucks.
Matt's a big, tough guy. When he says he was in 10
Dude,
out of
I know.
10, man.
Yeah. I mean, for those that missed it, he hurt his knee in a minor way. He's explained all this on the air. It's nothing secret. And got an injection for that to help with the minor knee thing, and basically the knee blew up from that, like swelling, like fluid filling it up, locking it up, and now he's just in a brace and can't drive. I think it sounds like the pain's a little better, though. Hopefully it keeps getting better.
Good. New mind-reading AI can predict what humans will do with about a 95% level of accuracy.
Don't believe it.
Don't believe it?
Nope.
I don't want it. Mm-hmm. I don't need that.
Maybe it can predict the group behavior, like the stock market, I find it hard to believe it can predict a single human's behavior since we're all so erratic.
When people say that life is not fair, here's an example. A convicted felon with a rap sheet that is 16 pages long, including violent crimes, recently hit the lottery in Kentucky for $167 million.
Mm.
I think that's going to go.
Well, I mean, he gets it. Still sucks, though. Maybe he'll stop robbing and hurting.
Yeah, maybe.
Be like, now he's covered. He doesn't have to do that stuff anymore.
I don't understand that, necessarily. Like, that whole, like, well, he gets it. Like, why do we got to give it to him?
Because he bought the ticket.
Yeah.
They make the rules. Change the rules. Be like, no, we're not going to give this to you.
The rules don't say that you can't win if you've been a felon. If you want to change that, go ahead.
But I just don't get why it's like, well, we have to give him the billions.
It's a contract. He bought the ticket. He wins.
What if they didn't like you because you had a hammock in your house?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little different.
Yeah, it's a bit different.
I get where Andrew's coming from. Like, you can be like, okay, you can't vote, but you can take all the money that other people have paid into this lottery.
I just thought that statement of like, well, gotta give it to him. It's like, what? Give it to him.
It's literally like you're breaking the law if you don't. The way the laws are written for lotteries is if you buy a ticket and you legally have one and you win, they have to give you the money. They don't have anything built in there saying, well, if you've been riding dirty and you didn't do your license plates, you don't get your money. You know, they don't do that.
That's a little close to home, wasn't it?
That was just a joke.
I don't know why we got to go there. Again,
I use the hammock.
Again, I don't know why we're comparing license plates and hammocks to, like,
so
murder.
Basically, Andrew, you're not bad as this guy.
We're not saying that.
We didn't use anyone else as an example.
Your hammock usage disgusts us.
I mean, like, if I would...
Mister probably goes 200 down the highway in his friggin' Camaro every day.
Rachel won, and they found out she played tennis. A study found that teenage drivers spend 21% of their time behind the wheel looking at their phone. Quarter of the time.
It does track based on what I see when I'm driving.
They're not even trying, are they?
They're not even trying.
Stupid Gen Z.
They're not the only ones, though.
You can watch TikTok the whole time if you try hard enough.
Do you guys ever see the dudes driving? Like, I see dudes mostly, but it may be ladies too, driving down the highway, like holding their phone out in front of, like in the windshield. Like,
deliberately obscuring the windshield with the mirror.
You're not making it better. Put the damn phone down, man.
That's really funny.
God, and they're always the ones driving like idiots. Always. I'm going 52 in the left lane and I'm swerving.
Yeah, because they can't see nothing.
Yeah, because your phone is obscuring your view.
Study found that using more emojis in your text messages with your significant other might save your relationship.
It makes sense. Emojis are a good way to like clarify your tone, I guess.
Totally agree.
Yeah, that's fair.
Totally agree.
I would hope, though, that emoji usage is not really where you're on that edge of good
or
bad.
Do you have any emojis, and I'm not talking about the dirty ones, do you have any emojis that you are hesitant to send? Like, I can't. I can't.
I'm sure I do. I just can't recall.
Yeah, every single one of them.
I don't think so.
What are your go-tos?
I like the crying, laughing guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like the thumbs up, but usually now, ironically, because if I send it to my kid. You know.
See, I like the fist.
Yeah, fist bump's a good one. Fist bump's a good one.
I like the little angel emoji. Like,
I don't think I've ever seen that one or used it.
No,
it's got the halo.
I do like the cool guy sunglasses one.
That one's good.
Yeah.
Ricky Horton likes that one a lot. He sends me that one a lot when he's like affirming.
Oh, really?
He's
cute.
When he's like affirming that he's good for.
Yeah, he sent me when Andrew was out, I was texting with Ricky and he sent me like a very adorable text. Yeah. I was like, Ricky, I was not familiar with your game, but I love
never
this.
Had a text with
I like to call that one the Maverick. You promised me you'd keep in touch. I read your letter.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Time to talk to your pal, Ricky Horton. Oh, hello, Rick.
Oh, hey, Dave. What's happening? You're going to blame me for what happened at Pittsburgh, aren't you?
No, I'm only going to blame you for one thing. I've just spent the last segment hearing these delightfully charming stories about all the cute texts you send to my coworkers.
You know what? I almost called you today by accident. I pulled up Andrew's number and he's starting to dial you. So there should be a butt dial for you. But does that count? Does that count as
absolutely
something?
Absolutely, it does. Yes. I knew we were best friends. I knew it.
You're next. You're going to get a flood of them, and you're going to sorry you opened that door.
I'll be blocking Ricky Horton.
Set the alerts off.
You can brag about that.
Mute sender. Oh, man. So have you moved on? Have you moved on from that last series?
Yeah, I moved on because I just took a very long walk along Lake Michigan, and you know, sometimes just working out kind of gets you kind of started over again. And you know, I think day off is good. even for us, you know, Dave, I mean, it's, you know, you kind of get embroiled in it. You're around it. You feel it.
Yeah.
There's some empathy going on. And so I think I would say yes, and I think the players will too. The day off was really needed.
And how did the guys seem? Just travel and in the clubhouse and such?
Yeah, well, they were definitely tired at the end of that Pittsburgh series. I mean, worn out. A lot of, you know, it's not just playing every day. I know people, it's hard for me, you know, you don't want to whine about it because, you know, you're playing a kid's game. But it's different. It's different than a kid's game. And, by the way, you're not a kid. So and you're, it's your job, and it's very different. But you know, I think you get mentally worn out, and I could see some of that with them. But, you know, just seeing them around today a little bit, ran into John Jay and his family, and they were kind of going out to the beach, and I mean, just good stuff. And honestly, I actually ran into some Cleveland Guardians fans too, and told them to take care of the Cubs tonight. They play the Cubs. The Guardians are staying at our hotel, so we're rooting for them big time.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time, Rick. I mean, because when you look at the way it's gone, it's been a series of runs all season long. Slow start,
real hot streak.
Yeah. Slow streak, hot streak. Slow streak, hot streak. It's kind of gone hot and cold. And it's not like everything's still overall good, right? I mean, you're still six games over 500. You're a top 10 offense in runs scored, even though you have been shut out five times in the last seven games. It's been a weird season, but I don't know that that's all that shocking given the way that this season was set up.
I think you're right. And I'm not sure that it's that shocking overall when you think about the way baseball is, Kevin. I'd be interested in, I haven't done this, but do a deep dive. We should do that. Do a deep dive on, you know, have the Padres lost five in a row? Have the Giants? I know they have.
Yeah.
I mean, the Marlins have had won seven in a row, for goodness sake. So, I mean, a lot, and the Pirates are now the hottest team in the National League.
Yeah.
So, I mean, baseball is kind of cyclical no matter who you are, but we just notice it more because it's a team we're following every day. I really do think it's, you know, Brendan Donovan made a comment, and I kind of get it, and I don't know if he's getting flack for it or not, but he said that, you know, the series in Pittsburgh is going to end up a blip on our radar, and I know that sounds kind of flippant, but he doesn't mean it that way. Oh. He means it sincerely, that over the course of a year, you know, you're going to have that. And you actually look back on the 2016, I think they had 2 10-game losing streaks, if I'm remembering that right. I mean, they had very long losing streaks both of those seasons, twice in that season, and yet still won the World Series. Now, I'm not saying that's what the Cardinals are going to do, but it is kind of part of baseball. It really is.
Totally. And if you look at the National League, Rick, the Cardinals are, 2 games behind the Brewers. They have more wins than the Padres and Giants, more wins than the Diamondbacks, more wins than the Atlanta Braves, who are one of the favorites coming into the year. They have two fewer wins than the Mets, who have a $350 million payroll.
Yeah.
Like, other than two or three teams, you're all the same.
Yeah, and a playoff team if you took the picture today. I mean, is that weird to say that? I mean, even after Pittsburgh. Now, to say a playoff team, everybody wants you to win the division first, and then you want to, you know, be king of the world. But, I mean, you got to start somewhere. And, I mean, getting into the playoffs, I think, is a good aspiration, at least for this Cardinal team. And if it were to be today, they would be, well, they're actually tied for the third wild card with San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And that's after losing three in a row. And, I mean, it's just bizarre to think of it that way. But that's, again, the cyclical nature of this game.
You know what's weird about the critics is that at the beginning of the season, I was hearing from my friends who are critics, we're going to suck. We're just going to be awful. It's going to be worse than last year. Well, now halfway through the season, they're mad because they're judging us as if we're the Dodgers.
Totally. And, you know, that, Dave, that's when you break out the Teddy Roosevelt line about the better to be a man, you know, marred and whatever that quote is. It's awesome. The man in the arena. That's right. And so if you're the man in the arena, you kind of just don't kind of listen to that. And you know, there's going to be critics everywhere. And, you know, some of it you have to – I've kind of learned with my old age is that when you get criticism, you take it with a grain of salt and you listen for the truth in it.
Yeah.
You might not like it, but you listen for the truth in it, but you don't swallow it whole. And if you swallow it whole, it'll swallow you. And I feel like that's the best way to handle that kind of naysaying. And, you know, that's been around since beginning. I mean, that was true of World Series teams for the Cardinals. And, you know, there's probably people right now that are hating on the Dodgers because they don't win every game. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Ricky, you wouldn't believe it if you saw it. But Dodgers fans daily are calling for Dave Roberts to be fired. Every day.
Yeah, well,
every day.
Yeah. Well, I think they should be calling for better pitching right now is what they should be doing, because they're
better doctors.
Better doctors. Stop getting people hurt. And, you know, I actually talked to Dave Roberts about that, and he agreed with me. I kind of gave him my long dissertation on how I think baseball is ruining pitchers, and he agrees. He said, we have so many guys hurt, but that's the way it is. That's what you do, and that's how we play this game. And I get it. You got to do what you're supposed to do, but you know, it's just not great for young arms coming up right now. But I love that guy, by the way. I love Dave Roberts. He's a classy guy, and you're always going to have people that are not in your corner, always.
So, Rick, tell us about that, your supposition. Is it just the holy grail of velocity that's ruining guys?
Yeah, and 100% pitching. I think if you throw a baseball 100% 20 times a day, and you do that, you know, 5 times a week, you are going to get hurt. It's just the way it is. And it's not number of pitches, it's max effort. Yeah. And max effort is a fairly new phenomenon. And, you know, I don't know that we're going to change that, because you get swing and miss with it. And swing and miss plays. And, you know, I mean, I might say, you know, I don't really care about swing and miss, but as I've said to you guys before, I sure do care about it when there's a guy on third base with one out. you want it? I mean, it's not, you know, it is. I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. MLB recognizes this, as I've said before, too. MLB is trying to fix this, but they don't know how.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you can legislate it other than maybe limiting the size of the pitching staff more, right? Saying you can only have 11 or 12 instead of 13 pitchers. But I think that's just going to increase the cycle of teams using their AAA rosters and moving people more often.
You'd have to change the roster, the up and down things, and go back the way it used to be. Yeah, the way it is now is also terrible in terms of the number of times you can send a guy back and forth without anything punitive. That's bad for pitchers too. But you know, you can't make a rule. You throw 100, you're fine.
Right.
I mean, that would be kind of odd. Or you know, don't put that much spin on that breaking ball. That you can't do that, Sonny Gray. You know, Sonny Gray is one of those guys. He's a max effort pitcher. He gets to 80 pitches and he's exhausted, not because he's not in shape, because he throws very hard every single pitch.
It's fascinating to me, though, when it comes to hitting and it comes to pitching. As an industry, you would think that people would follow what the greats do. Like Justin Verlander would be a great example of a guy that throws 100. When he was young, he would throw 100 all the time, and he learned, I'm probably going to be better if I'm not doing that all the time. Instead of going 5 innings, I'm going to go deeper. And you look at what he did, and you look at hitters who do it right. You look at the balanced guys like Juan Soto and Mike Trout. And it feels like people chase the outlier portions of that without learning the whole lesson of what those players are.
So true. And our best modern example of a pitcher like Verlander is still modern somewhat. But Zach Wheeler, and I think it's in the name. I think there's wisdom that comes in the name Wheeler.
Yeah.
But he's figured that out. He's not a max effort guy, but he's still pretty nasty, and he figures out how to get it done. And he's gonna last longer than some other guys.
And when they want it, it's there. When they want that hundo, there.
That's right. Exactly.
How are your pitching matchups with the Cubs?
Well, they're not the best, honestly. I mean, they were trying to figure out a way to get Sonny Gray to pitch against the Cubs. Yeah, we've got Miles Michaelis, then you've got Libertor, and then you've got Fetty, and in a 3-game series, and the third game is the night game. But I think there's some TBDs with the Cubs, which is kind of the rule of thumb these days. And Council loves to do that TBD. Maybe he doesn't know. I don't know, but he's certainly not telling anybody. But it's not the Sonny Gray going against him, which you'd like. But you know, it just didn't work out timing wise for Sonny to pitch here in Chicago.
Yeah, they didn't list it. I think it's tentatively Colin Ray in game one, and then Taillon in game two if they stay with the turns they've been in. But no Imanaga, so that's good.
Yeah, I watched him last night. No.
Yeah, I think we should have a rule: no lefty should ever pitch against the Cardinals. I think that's a good rule.
Well, the bad news on that is if everything stays on schedule, then it's Boyd in game three on Sunday night. So
I'd like to look at it as Boyd had a career day against the Cubs. Although he had a great month of June.
He's had a good year.
Yeah, it wasn't just that, but he's a, you know, he's a kind of a 500 pitcher, which again, 500 big league pitcher, that will pay some bills, guys. I mean, that is not a bad thing.
How's the weather up there, Rick, for all the people leaving St. Louis and heading up for the games?
It's very nice. It's a little muggy. So when you think Chicago, you usually think about it. I've got my wife Ann's coming up, my daughter Jen and her husband Chris, they're coming up for the 4th of July celebration Cardinal games, and they were thinking, well, I need jackets, right? And it's like, no, not really. It's hot. I mean, but it's not. So it's not the typical cool Chicago weather, but it's certainly bearable, and it's going to get up to 90 on Saturday, but it's going to be a rocking and rolling place to be, no question about it.
All right, brother, you have a great weekend. Bring home some winners.
I'll text you soon. Thanks. I said I'd never be angry with you.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. It feels like a Friday. Hopefully you guys have some cool plans for the weekend. Any cool plans here?
Just chill, you know, enjoy Independence Day.
Phoebe headed to Milwaukee. She's driving as we speak. Good thoughts and prayers for her.
Yeah.
And going up to stay with her boyfriend's family. So the girl's gone.
Oh, there you go.
I think I'm down to Michael Kelly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think we may see some fireworks
you guys,
together.
Yeah, you guys are going to go fireworking?
We might.
Yeah.
Might go buy some black cats.
You going to blow some stuff up?
We might. You never know what we're going to do. Yesterday I was talking about the studies that said that kids are burned out on sports, and an email I got from a dad who said, I'm a lifelong baseball player and fan, and travel ball has ruined baseball for me. I got another email overnight from a mom who, and it's really long, really long. She has some grievances, and she said, let me just represent the moms out there. She said, I'm a baseball widow because she has a kid in travel ball.
Yeah.
She has two younger daughters who are just feral at this point. They're just digging through trash. And she said that she is a travel agent. She is the mom. She is the chauffeur. She is the, this needs to get done. Go get it. He needs a new arm guard. And she said, it just sucks. She's like, I love my family. I love my kids. But this is the worst thing we've ever done. It sounded really bad.
Yeah. And my advice is always, if it's bad, stop doing it. Yeah. Again, I know it's hard. I'm not saying that's an easy thing, or find a different way to do it. But it's a lot. I would tell anybody, if your kid is going to play any version of travel sports, hockey, basketball, baseball, football doesn't really have the same thing. It's more of a camp circuit in the off season and then the season, but the season's a lot. If you're going to be playing any kind of travel type sport, volleyball, softball, whatever it is not easy. It sucks. Because your schedule's going to change all the time. If you're an outdoor sport, there are going to be weather issues. You're going to have to deal with being out in the heat and the sun. It's not cheap. It's a lot. There's no question. It's a big commitment, and it shouldn't be as big a commitment as it is. I think having done it for as long as I did on the coaching side of it, there are a lot of things that we could do systematically that would make it better.
Like what?
Like, instead of playing tournaments every weekend, we should be playing like leagues. And if you want to call it like a travel league or a select league or whatever, because I do think the level of competition matters for kids. If you're good, you should play against other good kids. If you're not good, you should play at your level.
Is the travel,
you're not going to get better playing against people you can't compete against.
Is the travel for fun, or is the travel because you can't find good opponents locally?
No, it depends. And this is the point. Travel at the high school age is essential. It is essential because that's how you get seen. If you think about the big places, so like there's a baseball facility, and by the way, this facility in Westfield, Indiana, which is north of Indianapolis, has this set up for baseball, softball, soccer, football, cheerleading, volleyball, you name it. It's this gigantic facility. It's always busy year round. That's a hub in the Midwest for high school age players to go play tournaments there. So college coaches all converge, and you'll have dozens, if not hundreds, of college coaches at a time for some of the big tournaments. Mm-hmm. And there are tournaments all over the Eastern and West, like all over the country, but specifically you kind of stay in your half of the country just for travel purposes, so that you get the exposure that you need. If coaches can go to three or four key places a summer and see thousands of players, that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
So when you're a high school age player thinking about playing college ball and you want the exposure, then yeah, you do need to travel. You probably need to go out of town 5, 6, 7 times during the course of the summer. Younger than that, you don't need to. I think at 13, 14, it's good to start learning how to do it.
Yeah.
Go out of town a few times, get used to what it's like to live in a hotel, still be able to perform, not get carried away with clowning around, you know, like treat it like a business trip. Like there's some learning that goes along with that. And before 13 or 14, it's all should be just for fun if you're going to make trips. And it probably shouldn't be more than once or twice a summer. I mean, again, it can be more if you're a team that has a families that have money and they want to take these vacations to Myrtle Beach or to wherever they host these tournaments. Totally cool. Do what fits your program and your families. That's totally cool. But all of it before the ages of 13, 14 should be for fun and not for this idea of exposure because it doesn't matter at 12.
Rach, my life has come full circle.
What's going on?
I just started following Charo on TikTok.
Well, what kind of content does she have for
you?
Lots
of coochie. She looks the same.
I thought she was dead.
Which is, I did too. It freaked me out.
It's an AI Charo.
I was like, finally, AI got it right. Like, she looks too good. And then I'm like, holy hell, it's her. And she's only like 77 or 78 or something. It's kind of freaky.
I thought she was like 77 when Love Boat was on.
I mean, I don't know. She must have been so young.
Yeah.
She was born in... No. It doesn't say her year of birth on Wikipedia.
Really?
Man, what kind of sway do you have to take down your birth year?
How old is Charo? 74. She's 10 years older than me.
Wow.
That's weird.
She's 10
man.
Years older than Brad Young. That's crazy.
So when you were watching her on Love Boat, she was like 20.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's kind of upsetting.
It's a bit off-putting.
That is not what I thought would be the case.
I mean, no offense. She looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If you hosed her off real hard, I bet she'd look like a Zagnut bar laying in the sun. Mm-hmm. But I mean, she looks good.
Is the I Dream of Jeannie lady still with us?
I think she passed away.
Okay. I was going to say, she should do a TikTok.
Never in my life have I been that mad at a character. And I've said this before. But when, what's his name? Larry Hagman, mm-hmm. her keeper, mm-hmm. who found her on a beach. And she's like... young and gorgeous and only wants to do anything to please him. And he's like, you stop using your magic and hitting on me. And I'm only like 8. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? What? Let her use all the magic she wants and hit on you. You got a friggin' genie. Join her in the bottle.
Yeah, the bottle was cool. The
bottle was cool.
That was like, that's one of the coolest sets ever, I feel. You know, or just like, you can just immediately picture it.
Charo.
Anyway.